So welcome back to This Week in the Association. Kevin Lucco joins me once again. Kevin, the St. Paul Saints officially eliminated this week, but did see a bright sign with the outing of Andrew Gutierrez a couple nights ago.
Yeah, at this point, with the team out of the playoff chase, it's time to start looking at guys that could be possible pieces for next year. And young Gutierrez, man, got his start last night. I was watching him. He started stretching out at about 10 after 6, and I thought, wow, this kid has got to be nervous. But he got out there, he walked some guys, but didn't give up many hits, had good movement on his pitches, and gave the Saints 6 very good innings. And I think George Stamos had to like what he saw, and I believe he'll get one more start probably on Monday against Kansas City. So, yeah, definitely a good start to the audition for Andrew Gutierrez.
I believe he would be a true rookie, too, so that could be a huge opportunity for him to make this club and really work within the team's salary confinement.
Yeah, we know how hard it is to find good rookies.
Well, you're not kidding about that. One thing we did want to talk about is there's some reports about some of the players from the Saints heading to the Atlantic League. Any speculation we'd like to talk about?
Got one unsubstantiated report that Tony Thomas is going to be headed to the Atlantic League. I didn't hear anything about when he'll go or what team he'll be on, but Thomas will get a chance to finish his season there. And I don't know, don't be surprised if a couple more guys also to get a look out there to extend their season a bit. I'm sure Vinny Natoli would interest some teams as a guy that could go an inning or two out of their bullpens. So, as per usual with teams that don't make the playoffs, they kind of become feeder systems for the Atlantic League, which, of course, runs a longer season. So, we'll see what happens in the next week or so.
And there are a couple of guys from last year's St. Paul Saints team that are playing out there, so it kind of makes sense they try to lure some of their old teammates to head out there to the league. So, wouldn't be a surprise.
Yes, I just read today. That Alonzo Harris joined the 2020 club for the York Revolution with 20 homers and 20 stolen bases.
Well, good for him. That's pretty awesome to hear. Well, let's head around the north. We first of all start with the Winnipeg Goldeyes, the best record in the league right now. So the question becomes, does that home field advantage make them the team to beat?
Well, it doesn't hurt, but as we saw last year, Wichita had the home field advantage too, and it didn't pan out as the Goldeyes went there and managed to come back to Canada with the championship. So it doesn't hurt to have, but it's still not an end-all. So, but it's still something to play for.
Charlie Rosario continues to look dominant since joining the team, an ERA barely over one. He looks like, you know, end of season heading towards the playoff run is really sitting well with him.
Yes, he just through last night in St. Paul, and I believe he had like 7-8 strikeouts in 6 1/3 innings. Saints were getting some guys on base on him, but Rosario was getting the outs when he needed them, so it's he's paid dividends for the Goldeyes so far.
He reached double digits in victories, was that right last night?
Yes, I believe so. Joined like, I think I was reading like 4 other pitchers that have got double-digit wins in 3 different seasons.
That's quite a remarkable feat, considering it says a lot about the job that he was doing in Gary and now helping out Winnipeg in this situation. Another guy really helping Winnipeg, Kevin McGovern, earned his 12th victory in his last start.
Yeah, I can't say enough about him. He's, I would say, the de facto ace of the club. Is granted, you know, with him and Rosario, you're looking at probably a 1A and a 1B as far as who the ace of the staff is. But, yes, it's been another strong year for McGovern. And, boy, when you go into a series and the first two guys you're throwing are a lefty and a righty with those two, that's a good way of getting the offense to jump out to a 2-0 lead.
We move to Fargo Moorhead, who finds himself amazingly at this point in the season as tied for the wild card lead right now. I think when Doug Semenek was released by the team, we kind of thought that maybe this team's season was over. So how did they get to this point?
Well, Michael Schlacht has found the right buttons to push, and now just in the last six games, they swept St. Paul. Two of them were in extra innings, and they've taken two out of three from the Central leading Lincoln South Dogs. Last night's game was a 0-0 game going into the eighth, and then the Red Hawks put up four, and Casey Weathers came in and shut the door, and that was a big win for the Red Hawks. I was watching some of it. It just seems like the players are really into it right now. They're playing loose, they're having fun, and they're getting the results.
I would think that this would really change whatever direction the team was looking for in terms of hiring a manager at the end of the season.
You know, as much as I was pumping Chris Cole's tires a week or two ago on the show, I'm going to have to kind of change course and believe that Michael Schlack should get every opportunity he can to be the to erase that interim title from his job and become the Red Hawks manager for next year.
Looking at them as the wild card team, I know a lot of people look around the league and think that Gary's not the team that they want to face just because the style of baseball they play, it's very difficult to play against them. But I would think at this point that there's just nobody who wants to face Fargo should they be the wild card team.
Hey, you know, as much as we're talking about Winnipeg and their 1A and 1B, well, you get into a series and Fargo can counter that with Tyler Alexander and Tyler Herron, and Jose Almirante has been pitching well as a number three guy. So, boy, I tell you what, if Fargo can somehow get the wild card, that's going to be one dynamite series. But they've got some ball to play.
Alexander Name is the pitcher of the week this last week and set the American Association record for strikeouts in a year. So congratulations to him.
Tyler seems to be breaking more records than Disco Demolition Night. Every week it seems like we're talking about a record being broke by Tyler Alexander.
Yeah, he's sure having quite a season. Heading to the Central, the Lincoln Salt Dogs, who still are holding on 3.5 game lead over Kansas City in the Central Division, but really struggling of late. I'm wondering if they are in a point right now that they're almost putting themselves out of playoff contention.
I think right now they would be pretty hard-pressed if I was reading the numbers right, the combination of what they'd have to do and what Kansas City or Gary would have to do. It would take an absolute disaster on their part to not make the playoffs. But with that being said, if they do make it, they're not going in with much momentum right now, and that has to be concerning for Bobby Brown.
The one area where he has to be pretty excited about, because this is usually one of those things that really helps out in the playoffs, is the solid bullpen he has, led by Cameron McVay, ERA under 2. This group can really be a difference maker for them should they get into the postseason.
Yeah, as much as we talk about starting pitchers, yeah, the back end's got to work too. How many times have we seen postseason games go into extra innings and it becomes a battle of the bullpens? Well, whoever's got the most arms down there will be the ones that come out ahead.
We had to talk about the Kansas City T-Bones. They were kind of struggling. Scott Carroll was signed away to affiliate ball, and the team seemed to kind of sputter, but they look like they've gotten out of those doldrums.
Yes, Joe Calpietra has righted the ship there. He's Matt Sergey, a guy we often talk about, he is back now and throwing decently. And Jared Mortensen got his first start. He didn't look spectacular, but he was adequate. And it's a matter of him getting kind of used to his new ball club, too. So the hitting has never been an issue for the T-Bones, and we're seeing that right now. Cedric Hunter is the current player of the week. So Kevin Keyes is right up on the top of the leaderboard for home runs. So there's no shortage of offense in Kansas City, and that may be what they're going to need to make it past Labor Day.
One guy who really has had a huge impact on the lineup is Dexter Kjerstad. I hope I'm saying that right. Kjerstad, I'm going to say. I hope I'm saying that right, Dexter, and my apologies if I'm not. Hitting over .370 in the 17 games that he's had with the team. One thing I really got to give the team's manager a lot of credit here for is that when they've had losses or they've needed a big bat, the guy or guys that he's brought in at times have really delivered for them.
Yeah, that's a key part of being a good manager in this league too, is having connections, having good scouting reports, and knowing where to go get guys from, and then the good ones will see the results right away, and that's what's happening in Kansas City.
The Gary South Shore Railcats had fired to the top of the wild card race, now find themselves technically in third, a game behind Fargo and Kansas City. What happened to this team?
Well, it's hard to say. Pitching has faltered a little bit other than Daniel Miner, but I think they ran into a Sioux Falls team that's been playing well and playing loose, and we've seen the results where it's been 2 out of 3 wins for Sioux Falls in that series. If Gary wins those 2 games, then we're looking at Gary on top by a game over Fargo and Kansas City. So I'll also show you what one game can matter. You know, that one game that you let get away can always, well, come to bite you in the end.
Well, you're not kidding about that. You brought up Daniel Miner, who had a huge start in his last outing against Sioux Falls.
Yeah, how about that? The one guy that they actually got this year from Winnipeg in the trade, it was Ariel Trade, and I don't know if Greg Taggart had some good intel on him or what, but he had about an ERA around 5 for the Goldeyes, but Taggart turned him into a starter, and once they got him stretched out, we've seen the results, and boy, if he can be a piece for them next year and you throw in 4 more prospects, it could end up being a heck of a trade for the Railcats.
Just for fans to know out there, in terms of wild card tiebreakers, Gary was 10-3 so far against the season against Fargo and 7-6 against Kansas City. So they own both tiebreakers should they end up the season tied with either team for the wild card thing. So that's an extra kind of a game up on those other teams if you get down to it.
Right, you can almost kind of count that as like a half game. So
exactly. We head to the south. The Wichita Wingnuts, they return Matt Chavez. The hitting has been sort of still suspect at this particular point. The question I guess we're looking at here is, can they catch Winnipeg to have the league's top record?
Well, with another one with Cleburne and then a series with Salina, it's looking good for them. Because you got to look at Winnipeg. They're going to be back home, but they're also playing Fargo, who's playing for their season, so it's going to be a tough series for the Goldeyes, and logically you would think that Wichita would run the table, and then after that we'll just see kind of see how the series in Manitoba shakes out.
They enter tonight's play 2.5 games behind Winnipeg, a game behind Lincoln for the league's top record, so we will see how that goes out here. Let's head around. Some other things we haven't really talked about so far this season has been individual leaders and things, and right now Sean Fleffner, who's been at or near the top of the league in hitting all season, has a 7-point lead, 3 players from Winnipeg in the top 4. Which one of these guys that you've looked at here do you really think? Is this Fleffner's title here, or could some of these other guys catch up to him?
I can see Romanski making a run for it, too. And we've got Matt Chavez in the wings, I believe. Is he number 3?
He's number 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Working right behind him.
Well, Chavez is going to be facing Salina pitching for the last 3 games. So if he gets some pitches to hit, he could also be making a viable run for that too. So
the two guys,
solid hitters on Winnipeg, but just never know. Could have Chavez sneak up on them.
The two guys competing for the home run title right at this moment look to be Jabari Henry of Sioux Falls and Kevin Keyes of Kansas City. Who do you think's walking away with that title?
Boy, that's going to be close to call. Too close to call. I believe Sioux Falls has wraps their season up with the Sioux City Explorers, whose pitching has been suspect, and Kansas City has 4 with St. Paul, where outside of Mark Hamburger, it's been kind of a crapshoot, so yeah, I'd say, guessing on that, probably go with the guy that's been leading all year with Kevin Keyes. But Jabari Henry, if you look at most of his home runs have been probably from July on. He was batting leadoff and kind of being more of an on-base guy for the Canaries as the season started, and now you're looking at him as their main power guy. So it's been a heck of a finish for Henry.
Currently, right now, Matt Chavez leading by one in the RBI lead over Kevin Keyes. Pretty impressive considering he sat out 2 weeks with an injury.
Oh, definitely, and hopefully somebody in the MLB will give Chavez a look next spring.
Heading into the pitching staff, Mark Hamburger coming in with 13 victories, Kevin McGovern with 12. It looks like each one of these guys will get one more start before the season ends. Does Hamburger hold off McGovern, or do they wind up tied? How do you see that coming down?
Well, Hamburger's in for a tough night with the T-Bones, but as we've seen with Mark, as much as he claims that he doesn't care how many days of rest he gets, if he gets a full 4 days, he tends to pitch quite well, and he'll have 4 days rest going into his start on Friday against Kansas City. If the Saints offense can give him some support, I could see Hamburger pulling out a win and making himself a lot of friends in Gary and Fargo by hurting Kansas City's chances. So, and McGovern goes up against Fargo, and we all know that when those teams hook up, you never know what's going to happen.
I'd be interested to see who McGovern faces in that, because if he's having Alexander or Heron, that should be quite a ball game, I would say.
Right. You know, right now, the starting five with Fargo, it's kind of like three good guys with Alexander, Almirante, and Heron, and boy, it just dropped off after that. Steyerwalt and Benji Waite, Toussaint St. Paul's really kind of limped towards the end of his season. So, yeah, it's just a matter of who the governor goes up against.
A lot of people aren't going to be, you know, touting the accolades of Tyler Alexander this season because he doesn't have big win numbers. But he has set the record with 159 strikeouts, 33 ahead of Charlie Rosario right now, and his 2.13 ERA is better than half a run better than the next pitcher in the league. I understand the 100-game suspension thing out there, but I still don't understand why this guy isn't getting a shot somewhere.
It's crazy. You would think that maybe he could go play like some adult league for like 100 games or find some way to kind of screw it around it. Maybe he gets signed right after Labor Day. I don't know how much longer the minor leagues are going, where technically he could sign right after the Fargo season, and if the team that he gets assigned to has games, so if they could start chopping away at the suspension. But yeah, I just see it as a low risk investment right now for a team. Why not give him a shot? He's got nothing left to prove in independent ball.
Yeah, he really has been unbelievable this year, especially considering I think you and I talked about for the first month or month and a half, he really wasn't putting up big numbers.
Yeah, we were touting his struggles, I believe, in some of our earlier shows this year if you listen to the archives.
Well, we have three huge series this weekend, so let's talk a little bit about those.
I think your top one is going to be in Winnipeg. Winnipeg still has the top record in the league to play for. They could or could not go home with the division title wrapped up, depending on how Thursday night's games shake up in St. Paul or how this afternoon's game is going in Fargo. But it's Winnipeg and Fargo, and Forney wants to beat Fargo as much as he can. Fargo's playing for their season right now, so can't figure out what much else could there be at stake up there. Kansas City's got former St. Paul, and the Saints are kind of limping towards the finish line with nothing to play for. You know, sometimes with teams, they kind of take to the spoiler role, but considering the way the last 2 months have gone for St. Paul, I just believe the team just kind of looks right now, and they're kind of in let's just get it over with mode. Maybe pride kicks in and George Sams gives them the guys a little kick in the butt and maybe they steal a game or two from Kansas City. But you look at it on talent alone and how the teams are playing, I have a magic case he's going to probably take 3 of 4.
Then our last series, Lincoln goes to Gary.
That's going to be interesting. Like we've talked about, Lincoln's been struggling, and just like with Fargo, Gary's playing for their season and their home. So we shall see what happens there.
One other note of an important series that we see this weekend, Wichita and Salina is obviously not a huge series, but Salina 2 wins away from 20. And by the way, on their third manager, I understand Daniel Aldrich got a coaching job or something with the Yankees organization, I think, and headed back out east. So Brian Smith, I believe, is now co and managing the team. Do they have 2 wins out of 4 this weekend?
My heart says yes, and my head says, "Oh hell no!"
I think
it was just too bad. I wanted to see them hit 20 wins, but yeah, unlikely against a team like Wichita. You can't see the Wingnuts coughing up 2 games to them,
I think
and they
your head
still
is right.
do have a chance at overall record to go for.
I think your head has it right there. Well, what's going on with us, Kevin?
Well, it's been a little busy with the 10th inning stretch blog at 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com. The last 2 nights I've done live blogs kind of covering the wild card chases and the Saints game as it happens. I just got done this morning, just published the 2016 season installment of 25 years of Saints baseball, so I guess the next will be a wrap-up of the season after the playoffs conclude. So it's going to kind of start slowing down a little bit, unfortunately.
Well, out at the Minor League Sports Report, Greg Stoker wrote a great story about Kevin McKenna, who is signed by the Arizona organization and is just lighting it up in Hillsboro right now. Great story out there and great example of what can happen when a guy comes to independent baseball and gets another shot out there. We'll have playoff previews heading into next week's games, as well as a couple of player features from Salina, Jesse Baker and Roche Woodard, as well as stories on Brennan Salgado and James Campbell from Wichita. Also have stories from Derek Gordon and Cameron McVeigh from Lincoln heading into the playoffs, and potentially Matt Sergi if they wind up making the playoffs as well. Tell us about Twitter there, Kevin.
Well, we're out there at TWITA Baseball, and we're keeping update as much as we can on games as they progress throughout the league. And I'm also retweeting a lot of stories as they come in about players or upcoming promotions at ballparks and any other news pertaining to the American Association. So give us a follow on Twitter. That's at TWITA Baseball, and look forward to hearing from you.
Just so fans know, Kevin and I will have a preview show next week heading into the playoffs, to where we'll give our predictions of who we're believing are going to be the teams heading on to the championship round and who we expect to be big performers in that series. So we hope you join us next week. I'm Rob Pinier, joined by Kevin Lucco, and we'll see you next time on This Week in the Association.